The words of God given to us today are Luke chapter 23, verses 44 to 49. It is page 139 in the New Testament. It's Luke chapter 23, verses 44 to 49. Allow me to read the words. It was now about noon, and darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m. For the sun stopped shining, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Jesus called out with a loud voice, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." When he had said this, he breathed his last. The centurion, seeing what had happened, praised God and said, "Surely this was a righteous man." When all the people who had gathered to witness this sight saw what took place, they beat their breasts and went away. But all those who knew him, including the women who had followed him from Galilee, stood at a distance watching these things. Amen. God heard the cries and groans of the Israelites who had been enslaved in Egypt for 400 years and remembered the covenant he had made with their ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So God called Moses, who was tending sheep in the wilderness of Midian, to lead them out of Egypt and into the land of Canaan. In ancient times, the labor of slaves was essential for the economic power of nations, and thus Pharaoh, the ruler of Egypt, did not allow the Israelites to leave peacefully. Through Moses and Aaron, God turned the waters of the Nile into blood, making it undrinkable for the Egyptians and causing the fish to die. Moreover, frogs came up from the Nile and infested not only the homes of the common people, but also the palace of Pharaoh and the houses of his officials, covering Egypt with frogs. Yet Pharaoh's heart remained hardened. Even after experiencing subsequent plagues of gnats, flies, hail, and locusts, Pharaoh still refused to let the Israelites go. Then came the ninth plague on Egypt. Exodus chapter 10, verses 21 to 24. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand toward the sky so that darkness spreads over Egypt, darkness that can be felt." So Moses stretched out his hand toward the sky, and total darkness covered all Egypt for 3 days. No one could see anyone else or move about for 3 days. Yet all the Israelites had light in the places where they lived. Then Pharaoh summoned Moses and said, "Go worship the Lord. Even your women and children may go with you. Only leave your flocks and herds behind." The God that remained constant in nations serving ancient polytheistic religions was the sun god. Egypt was no exception, with the sun gods Ra and Horus. As well as the sky goddess Nut and Hathor. Even Pharaoh, the ruler of Egypt, was considered the son of the sun god. Every morning in the Egyptian palace, they offered prayers and sang hymns at the rising sun, acknowledging the omnipotent deity who ruled their lives and seeking guidance for their daily activities. The worship of the sun god was the utmost importance, and they dedicated more devotion to this worship than any other. They were so concerned that if the sun did not rise due to clouds, they would fear that the sun god might be angry and tremble with anxiety. However, Egypt was engulfed in an indistinguishable darkness. It lasted not just for a few hours, but for 3 entire days. The Egyptians, who had oppressed the Israelites as insignificant slaves for 400 years, witnessed the manifestation of the God whom the slaves believed in, Yahweh, who governs the sun in the heavens and controls the entire universe. Through the event orchestrated by God through the hand of Moses, all of Egypt became a place of darkness. Borrowing the title of the novel by Portuguese author José Saramago, Egypt became not just city of blindness, but nation of blindness. However, on the outskirts of Nation of Blindness, along the coast of the Mediterranean Sea, there was a city of the seeing, which was the land of Goshen, where the Israelites lived. Especially in the latter part of verse 23 and 24, various English translations of the Bible have powerfully translated, yet all the Israelites had light in the places where they lived. This means that the Israelites not only lived in a place with light, but that their dwelling became a city of light because they possessed light. The fact that the Israelites had light and became people of light was not solely due to their faithful belief in God. It was not because they possessed distinct qualities such as wisdom or humility that enabled them to have this light. Rather, it was because God bestowed His grace upon them, shining His light upon them, that they became people of light. Today's passage also testifies to the darkness that fell upon the land of Judah. Verses 44-45 testifies, "It was now about noon, and darkness came over the whole land until 3 in the afternoon, for the sun stopped shining, and the curtain of the temple was torn in two." When Jesus was crucified and the moment of His sacrificial death, there were 2 supernatural phenomena and the confession of the centurion who witnessed Jesus' last breath. The 2 supernatural phenomena were the entire land being covered in darkness and the tearing of the temple curtain. In the passage, the phrase "losing light" is translated in Greek as eklepo, which means to diminish, weaken, or cease. Here, the English word eclipse, which refers to a solar eclipse, is derived from it. A solar eclipse is a celestial phenomenon where the moon obscures the sun. As the earth revolves around the sun and the moon revolves around the earth, when the alignment of earth, moon, sun occurs in a straight line, a solar eclipse occurs. When the moon is close to the earth and completely covers the sun, it is called a total eclipse. When the moon is closer to the sun and only obscures the central part, making the sun appear like a ring, it is called an annular eclipse. When the moon only partially covers the sun, it is called a partial eclipse. In South Korea, there was a solar eclipse on July 22, 2009, when about 80% of the sun was obscured. Whether the darkness that fell upon the land and the loss of light at the moment of Jesus' sacrificial death was an eclipse or not, it was a divine event. Generally, solar eclipse always occurs on the first day of the lunar calendar, the new moon phase. However, when Jesus was crucified, it was close to the full moon, so it wasn't the time for a solar eclipse to occur. Additionally, even if a total eclipse occurred, the duration of complete obscuration is within 10 minutes due to the revolution of the earth and the moon. However, when Jesus was on the cross, it lasted for 3 hours. This can only be a divine intervention. Furthermore, the biblical time mentioned can be converted to the current time by adding on 6. So when Jesus was crucified, the time when the sun lost its light was from the 6th hour to the 9th hour, which is from noon to 3 p.m. At that time, the sun's rays are the strongest during the day, yet darkness fell. And the temple curtain was torn in the middle. This symbolically shows that through the power of death that came upon Jesus, we're able to approach God. Therefore, for those who do not accept the sacrificial death of Jesus Christ, darkness will always fill their lives. Even if their lives may appear glamorous and receive attention and recognition from others in the worldly sense, their lives are filled with darkness. In Acts chapter 9, we have a testimony about the scene where the Apostle Paul, then known as Saul, encountered the resurrected Jesus Christ. Verses 1 to 2. Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. Damascus, which is now the capital of Syria, was located about 213 kilometers north of Jerusalem. Many thousands of Jews who fled Jerusalem to escape persecution sought refuge in Damascus, which had a significant number of people who received the Lord and became Christians. Saul, who was well aware of this, received a letter of authorization from the high priest to arrest the Christians in Damascus and bring them back to Jerusalem. His intention was to imprison them and have them put to death after a religious trial. Verses 3 to 5. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. Suddenly a light from heaven surrounded Saul. The light was so intense that Saul fell to the ground, unable to stand. That moment, Saul heard a voice calling his name and asked, "Who are you, Lord?" The response came, "I am Jesus, whom you're persecuting." It was the resurrected Jesus Christ who had suffered and died on the cross, appearing to Saul in a light more radiant than any other. Now, it's important to know the time of this encounter. When almost 30 years had passed since that event, Paul completed his third missionary journey and returned to Jerusalem. However, the Jewish crowd was determined to eliminate Paul. At the time, Paul, also known as Saul, obtained permission from the commander to speak and confess the exact time of his calling. Acts chapter 22, verse 6. "About noon, as I came near Damascus, suddenly a bright light from heaven flashed around me." It was noon, precisely 12 o'clock. At noon, when the sun is at its zenith and its rays are scorching, one can feel the heat on their skin and experience intense glare. Saul encountered Jesus Christ at that very moment, who was brighter than the noonday sun. The light was more intense than the scorching sun in the Middle East. That is why Saul saw that light even in the scorching midday sun. Later, Saul testified to the scene before King Agrippa. Acts chapter 26, verse 13. "About noon, King Agrippa, as I was on the road, I saw a light from heaven brighter than the sun, blazing around me and my companions." Saul encountered Jesus Christ, who was brighter than the noonday sun, and the light of Jesus Christ transformed his life. However, there are also people who have encountered the light of Jesus Christ but continue to live apart from that light. John chapter 19, verses 13 to 14. "When Pilate heard this, he brought Jesus out and sat down on the judge's seat at a place known as the stone pavement. It was the day of the preparation of the Passover. It was about noon." As we have seen before, Governor Pilate questioned Jesus twice. Therefore, Governor Pilate knew better than anyone else that there was no reason to sentence Jesus to crucifixion. He even considered releasing Jesus, using the custom of releasing one prisoner during the feast, and asked the crowd whether they wanted him to release Jesus of Nazareth or Barabbas. However, Governor Pilate was afraid that releasing Jesus would lead to a riot. And as a ruler who failed to govern the Jewish region properly, he feared that he would be accused by the Roman emperor. Therefore, he decided to crucify Jesus. When Governor Pilate made the wrong decision, the moment when he made an unfathomable decision, was the sixth hour at noon. Governor Pilate made a completely faulty decision. Even though he had Jesus Christ, who is the eternal light and far surpasses the light of the sun, right beside him at the time when the sun's rays were scorching. His heart was filled with darkness. Thus, his name has been the most shameful name for the past 2,000 years and will continue to be until the Lord comes again. After encountering the light of Jesus Christ, Acts chapter 9, lines, verses 8 to 9. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand into Damascus. For 3 days he was blind and did not eat or drink anything. After encountering the light of Jesus Christ, Saul did not eat or drink anything for 3 days. And he couldn't see anything. His eyes were open, but he couldn't see anything at all. On the last page of José Saramago's novel, Blindness, it is recorded, "I want to know what I'm thinking. I don't think we ever went blind. I think we are blind. Blind but seeing. Blind people who can see but do not see. Even if both eyes are in perfect condition, a person who only sees what they want to see and fails to see what they should see is no different from a blind person. Therefore, we say that someone who is blinded by the smoke of power only focuses on power and fails to see anything else. And someone whose eyes are darkened by the smoke of wealth only focuses on wealth and assigns no value to anything else, refusing to look at anything else." Saul tried to see the honor and worth that the Lord and Jewish tradition offered. But he failed to see Jesus Christ, who was the true light and the words of the Lord. He was blinded by the traditions. That's why Jesus Christ sought him out so that he could open his eyes to the truth and eternity. The 3 days when Saul couldn't see but had his eyes opened became a stepping stone, a milestone in his life, leading him to a new life, a life focused on truth and eternity. And from then on, he lived as a faithful apostle in the light of Jesus Christ. Jesus said to Saul, John chapter 12, verses 46, "I have come into the world as a light, so that no one who believes in me should stay in darkness." Also, Psalms chapter 119 verse 105. Your word is a lamp for my feet, a light on my path. A life without Jesus Christ and the words of the Lord is pure darkness. But for those who walk with Jesus Christ and obey the words of the Lord, darkness can no longer insist on being darkness. Jesus Christ and the words of the Lord are always with us, accompanying us. Last summer, my wife and I went on 4 days and three nights retreat to Jeju Island from Monday to Thursday. After our honeymoon trip to Jeju Island, when we got married in February 1998, we had never been back. But after 25 years and 6 months, we finally returned to Jeju Island. The natural beauty of Jeju Island was truly captivating, and I felt incredibly grateful that such a place exists in South Korea. However, the day we were scheduled to return home happened to be the day when Typhoon Kanun was passing through the Korean Peninsula. Typically, typhoons that affect South Korea move in a counterclockwise direction, spiraling up towards the Southern Sea, then heading out to the East Sea. But Typhoon Kanun, the sixth typhoon of 2023, was very different. It was the first typhoon to traverse the entire Korean Peninsula since meteorological records began in 1951. Furthermore, while the average speed of typhoons is around 26 kilometers per hour, Kanun was moving at a much slower pace, about 12 kilometers per hour, indicating that it would take a long time to pass. A slow-moving typhoon meant that it would bring heavy rainfall. The forecast of heavy rain raised concern nationwide, as it could lead to landslides and flooding. During this time, the 25th World Scout Jamboree, which was taking place in Pu'an, Jeollabuk-do, was forced to evacuate, and participants scattered to various regions in the capital area. Fortunately, Kanun's strength weakened before making landfall on the Korean Peninsula, and with the lessons learned from the previous typhoons, precautionary measures and evacuations were enhanced, resulting in minimal damage. Kanun approached Jeju Island on the evening of August 9th, and it reached the Korean Peninsula on the morning of August 10th. Strong winds, of course, began to blow on Jeju Island from the afternoon of the 9th. On the 10th, the winds gradually subsided. I had a flight reservation for 5:10 p.m. I tried to check the status of the flight, but I couldn't reach the airline by phone, and online confirmation was not possible. Although I could have stayed one more day and returned on Friday, I wanted to return on Thursday to prepare for the Sunday's sermon. I went to the airport around 3 p.m. Many people filled the airport. When I checked the flight status at the self-service ticketing machine, it showed that the only flights around the time I intended to board were departing. It was unusual for a slow-moving typhoon to have already passed Jeju Island, but the planes couldn't arrive in Seoul until the typhoon had completely passed. That's why I was able to board the plane. Jeju Island was still experiencing strong winds, and although it was still daylight, it was dim and obscured by thick clouds. While I was seated on the plane, I couldn't help but wonder if there would be an announcement canceling takeoff due to the typhoon. Finally, the aircraft raced down the runway and soared into the sky. It felt as though the aircraft was piercing through a thick, dark curtain. However, above those thick clouds, there was a layer of bright and lighter clouds, and above them, the sun was shining brilliantly. It was a stark contrast to the view below. On the ground, the wind continued to blow in all directions, and it was dim and cloudy, making it hard to believe that the sun even existed. But the sun hadn't disappeared. It wasn't only shining on the opposite side of the earth. It was just that the thick clouds prevented us from seeing the sun. If someone were to think that the sun no longer existed just because everything appeared dark due to thick clouds and heavy rain, how foolish would that seem? Our relationship to God is no different. When it seems like darkness is enveloping our path, when storms and tempests batter our lives, we may question, where is God? Isn't God present? We may even find ourselves resenting God and turning away from Him. Yet, God has never ceased to exist for a single moment. He is always with us. It is just our own clouds of guilt and sin, resentment and doubt that obstruct our relationship with God. God, through Jesus Christ, who bears the sacrificial death on the cross, removes those clouds and invites us to Himself, tearing the veil in the sanctuary. When we look back on our lives through Jesus Christ on the cross, the eternal light, we realize that there is no event in our lives that is without meaning, and all those occurrences are invitations that lead us to God. Even in this place of worship today, Jesus Christ, who shed His blood on the cross to eternally lift us up, is present with us as the light. Although Daniel's life in Babylon for over 70 years may have seemed like a constant state of darkness, it is no exaggeration to say that because he always opened the window toward God, he lived a life that was more luminous than anyone else's. Let us all open our windows toward the Lord and follow the light of Jesus Christ, who is the light, and the words of the Lord. Let us abide in the light of Jesus Christ and the light of Lord's words, even when this world is filled with deeds of darkness, like pitch black darkness, and no matter how much worldly desires and values prevail, we will be the people of light who dispel the darkness and become channels through which the lying lives are connected to the Lord. He says to us in John chapter 8:12, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me, never darkness, but will have the light of life. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, When our Savior Jesus Christ hung on the cross and returned, darkness fell. But that darkness was brought about by our sins and transgressions. We have enjoyed living in the darkness for a long time. We confess that there have been times when we lived our life directed towards God, but there have also been times when we returned away from God. Yet despite our failures, we thank you, Lord, for not rejecting us. In the crossroads of life where the path is unclear and in the dark alleys of life deeply covered in darkness, you shine your light upon us and surround us with your light. Please guide us in the rest of our lives to live as children of light, following you, the light, and your word. Especially, may our sinner beings receive the illumination of your light and dispel the darkness in our lives, living as channels of light. Just as Saul, who became the Apostle Paul, received the visitation of the light and became a light in his life, and just as Daniel, amidst the life of captivity in Babylon, set his heart steadfastly towards you, opening the window toward God, shining like a star in the sky of his life, may we also receive the illumination of your light and open the window toward you with gratitude and obedience. May the darkness be dispelled in our lives and may we become people of light. Through our lives, may this world, which is as dark as night, gradually become brighter. We pray in the name of Jesus, who has removed the darkness from our lives. Amen.